After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Our next scripture reading this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 1 to 6. "At that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. When Israel sought for rest, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O virgin Israel. Again, you shall take your tambourines and go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall enjoy the fruit. For there shall be a day when sentinels will call in the hill country of Ephraim, 'Come, let us go to Zion, to the Lord our God.'"
So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. Fear and great joy. I've been thinking about this phrase over the last week. Fear and great joy. What a strange combination. After all, a few months ago at Christmas, we heard angels telling shepherds, "Do not fear, because I bring you tidings of great joy." Surely the joy is supposed to so fill you that there's no room for those negative emotions like fear. Fear and great joy. And yet, when I look back on those moments, and there have been quite a few of them, when I look back on those moments when I have felt great joy, the greatest joy, sure enough, most of them have come with fear as well. I think of the great occasions of my life, getting married, the birth of my children. That was absolutely terrifying, and I don't mean the labour and delivery, I mean the time after. Great joy, but what a terrifying thing to find yourself suddenly in charge of this new life. And then that day just over 7 years ago when I first heard that the Moriarty congregation had agreed to call me here as their minister. Great joy, great joy. But immediately afterwards, oh my gosh, what have I done? And in a way, it makes sense. It makes sense Joy comes when something that we hope for happens, when a new possibility for our future unfolds. And as happy and as joyful and as excited as those new possibilities make us, we often also become aware that those possibilities call us to new responsibilities. We can't become aware of the part we need to play and just what that might mean for us, what that might demand of us. There is a proper respect for what we are to face, an awe in what we are to move into. Yes, you might call it fear if we are serious about grasping the possibilities and moving into the future. Fear and great joy. At the start of the story from Matthew, it would appear the women felt neither. We're not sure how they felt. We can only imagine that there might have been deep sadness or perhaps even just numbness at what had happened. And they go to the tomb. And one can imagine that as they go, they remember. Just as when somebody we've loved has died, we remember. We remember their life. We remember the things that meant so much to us. And they remember not only the events of the last week or so, the events that saw Jesus arrested and tried and crucified, but they remembered all that they had known in Jesus' life. They would have remembered the hope that they thought that Jesus offered, the hope that Jesus was bringing in God's vision of community, a vision of people living and sharing together, working together and flourishing together. It's a vision of hope that is described often in the history of Israel and its sacred writings, from the stories of creation and through the words of the prophets, a promise that God's faithfulness persists. And only the faithfulness of God's people prevents that vision from becoming reality. They would have heard over and over again in the stories from the Hebrew scriptures, God calling to God's people, putting before them the vision of life, healthy communities, healthy people built through justice and compassion and service. A vision like we heard in the reading from Jeremiah, a vision in which we see people living satisfying lives, living in community in ways that are not exploitative, living in joy and peace and harmony. The context of the Jeremiah reading makes it clear that God's people have rejected God's vision and find themselves in exile. But God keeps calling the people. God keeps calling out hope, hope that they would embrace that divine vision for human living and flourishing. God holds out hope to God's people. And the two Marys knew that. And in the life of Jesus, they believed they had seen the embodiment of that hope. They had seen Jesus teaching that hope, preaching that hope, living it right to the very end. They would have understood it as a promise that God is with them. A promise reflected in the name given to Jesus right at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, Emmanuel, God with us. It was hope for the poor in spirit, for those who mourn, for the meek and the merciful. It was hope for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, hope for the pure in heart and the peacemakers, and hope for those who are persecuted because they work for God's vision. It was hope built around loving and forgiving your enemies and loving your neighbour as yourself, about God's all-encompassing love that Jesus had acted out in acts of healing and that Jesus had spoken about in parables of birds of the air and flowers of the field. That was the hope that the two Marys had known with Jesus, and it had all seemed so possible with Jesus, that they were ready to do all he asked because he brought such affirmation that God's vision was possible that God was with them. But now it was over, they thought. His hope was defeated, it seemed. And they walk to the tomb to remind themselves that this is so. Until earthquakes and angels and stones moving change everything all over again. Fear and great joy. Matthew is the only gospel to tell us about the earthquake. And given recent events, it may seem hard to see this as anything but frightening. But for Matthew, it's not the destructive power of the earthquake that is at the heart of the matter. For Matthew, the earthquake is another way of declaring that the natural world cannot help but witness to God's involvement in human life. That involvement in human life that we see through Jesus. It is like the miraculous star that heralded his birth and guided the wise men to Bethlehem. It's a statement that Jesus' birth, Jesus' life, Jesus' death and resurrection are not just personal events. They're not just local events. They're not just involving those who followed him in his lifetime. They make a difference in all of history. They make a difference to the whole world. And this is where fear and great joy come in. Because once you've seen Jesus is risen, that the hope he lived has not been defeated, then there is good news, great joy indeed. And then there comes the realisation that what seemed possible with Jesus really is possible. And that means living out all that Jesus preached about loving enemies and being peacemakers and living out God's healing, welcoming love. All that just has to be part of our lives. All the excuses we might have had about evil being stronger, about hatefulness being too powerful, are no longer valid. And here we are, called to be witnesses, witnesses to the resurrection. Not with our theorising about what actually might have happened, not with our debates about resurrected bodies, but with our lives of justice and compassion that takes us toward God's vision of hope. What opportunity, what responsibility, fear and great joy. And in fear and great joy, the two women go to find that Jesus truly is with them, truly ready to invite them to share in resurrection life. And not only them, but those who might have even more reason to fear, those who deserted and denied them. The angel tells the women to go tell his disciples. Jesus says, go tell my brothers. Go tell those who have deserted and denied me. They are still part of my family. Go tell them to meet me in Galilee, where we can start again the story of God with us, where we can begin the community of resurrection. A community of people who know failure, but know the presence of God with them even through that. A community of people who know defeat, but know the presence of God with them even through that. A community of people who know fear and the presence of God with them even through that. Go tell that people that they find themselves in a place where they can find a new start, new possibilities, new hope to find great joy. The community of the resurrection continues wherever there are people to witness to it. Not by talking about what we believed happened, but by letting that resurrection happen through our lives. Whenever we face the suffering of the world with courage, whenever we confront injustice, even in ourselves, we are witnessing to the resurrection. Whenever we speak for peace and on behalf of the marginalised, whenever we seek to live with justice, in simplicity and with care, we are witnessing to the resurrection And the seeds of God's love that seem buried and gone are rising again in this world, rising in forgotten corners where the powerless and poor daily face the reality of death. There God's love is rising. Rising in neglected places where human carelessness and consumption threaten the survival of the land and the people who live on it. There God's love is rising. Rising in lonely, hurting people who can learn again to have hope. Fear and great joy. Great joy not just for us, but all the world. And so, as we celebrate this day with joy, let us also pause to remember those places, those people whom we fear have lost hope and don't know joy.